It's the Mike Calta Show. It's 102.5 The Bone, 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. The phone number is Galvin. I'm very excited about our next guest.
I know.
This is Rob O'Neill. He is a former Navy SEAL, which is something I think we all agree we can never do.
Oh, no way. Have you ever seen that SEAL training stuff that
yes.
they do?
In fact, I have questions about
and
that.
And the part that they show on TV. Like, because they're not showing you everything.
Yeah, that, and I don't tell you that the Demi Moore Navy SEAL movie was enough to make me not want to be in it.
Absolutely.
You know? Although she did look fantastic with short hair. Mm-hmm. Rob O'Neill is the Navy SEAL that is credited with shooting Osama bin Laden, although he'll tell you some other bullets hit him, but he shot him in the forehead at close
range. Nice.
Yeah. I have so many things I want to ask this guy, but he is highly decorated even before the bin Laden.
Uh-huh.
He's got like 52 medals, and he's been on a bunch of missions. He was the first one on the boat that saved Captain Phillips that they made a movie about.
Nice.
Yeah, he's so like closest thing to superhero that they actually get. So he's was in town last night for a fundraiser for Chad Cronister, who is the Hillsborough County Sheriff. Who? There he is. I was just saying, closest thing modern day to a superhero. And then this guy, too, other superhero. And by the way, Chad, go over that microphone for a second, if you don't mind. I was discussing this on the show yesterday. Strict competition among the good-looking sheriffs between you and Naka. I mean, you think, Rob, you know, you think of sheriff, you think of, first of all, you think of small-town, old-school Western sheriff. Big,
yes.
Usually the fat guy with a big mustache.
I think of Roscoe.
Yeah. That's it. The old sheriffs, you know,
right.
not the young sheriffs. The two of us we certainly break that mold.
Oh yeah, yeah. And who would win in a fight between the two of you?
Never be a fight. We work too close.
Would you guys
too
fight
well
at the punch out the night for charity? The next punch out. Listen, I wouldn't want to fight Naka either.
But I'll bring it up. We are doing a lot for this month for domestic violence, promoting that, and the different charities with Valentine's Day coming up. We're actually working together to promote that. So we do a lot together because, you know, Pasco used to be, as you know, Mike, way up in the north end, and it's not that anymore. Now it's North Tampa.
Yeah.
As we continue to expand. So we were very, very well and very close.
I like to consider myself the most famous person in Pasco County, but I keep getting knocked down. John Cena, the world famous wrestler, lives there. That knocked me down. Then Naka, once he starts chasing guys with his own car and taking them out, that knocks me down. So anyway.
Well, hey, if you're in the top three, top five, that's
pretty impressive. Too, the good news about John Cena is you can't see him.
Yeah.
So can you count him?
The funny part is, Rob, is that where I live, north of Tampa, is kind of almost like going out to the country. And, you know, you're a lot of pickup trucks, a lot of, then all of a sudden a Lamborghini goes by.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You very well can see
yeah.
him when he's
there. You may
not
be able to see him. You can see his Lambo.
I was just explaining before you came in that everybody, you know, of course, wants to introduce you as the guy who killed Osama bin Laden. But, man, before that, also, was the first guy on the boat in the Captain Phillips situation?
I was actually the first guy off the plane to jump. I wasn't one of the snipers, but that was such a difficult mission because we had never thought of how to rescue someone in a fully enclosed lifeboat being pulled by a Navy cruiser. So we were thinking, how do we do this? We had everyone come up with a plan.
Right.
I was a lead jumper, and we rehearsed that over and over, but we didn't know how to get Captain Phillips out. So I detailed in the book, The Operator, that I just wrote, published in April. The snipers were there simply because they were making sure there was security, nothing unsafe happened.
Yeah.
While we were preparing to rescue, something unsafe happened, and they all took the shots.
Yeah.
And the thing's amazing about that, though, talking about heroes. Like these Navy SEAL snipers were in their own beds 4 days before those shots in Virginia.
Wow. Yeah,
their guns don't need to be sighted in. There's going to be time, but their guns are sighted in because the preparation, just the professionalism of these guys I work with. And that's why I call the book The Operator. It's the life of the operator. It's not me calling myself that. It's every Ranger, every Green Beret, every SEAL, how they get there, the positive attitudes of getting there, and the preparation versus the planning, because the perfect plan never really happens. It's the other stuff around you.
And you're also, there's a part of it that's not that you want to kill anybody, but you're waiting to go to work. I mean, that's what you train for
whole
time.
It's not even that you want to kill somebody, you want to protect others.
Right.
And sometimes you need to use lethal force simply because that's what has to happen right now. I've seen it a bunch.
Yeah, too much now. I mean, I'm sitting in my office a couple of minutes ago. I got another update on my phone, another shooting here, another shooting there. You can't be prepared for any of that stuff, can you?
Oh, I mean, it's a difficult time. It comes a lot with people are resorting to violence too quickly now, I think, a lot because of video games, because of the education that we're not providing, and just they see it everywhere on social media. So it's tough. And
yeah, the entertainment industry, we're just a more violent society.
And that's why I'm down here to support Sheriff Conister, because we were just talking about it on the drive over. The way that you defeat a lot of the evil that there is everywhere. Not just places where I've been, but places here is with community outreach, with educating giving the kids a chance, letting them know what's what, and not just trying to. There's so much into it, but I really believe education is the key to winning a lot of these fights, not just the global fights, but the local fights. And by fights, I just mean the struggles, you know?
Sure. You got to get out there and let them know there's another option. You speak to a lot of kids now, and the kids grasp the... I have to explain every year at 9/11, I have an 11-year-old son, explain really what went down and what it is. And when I was a little bit geeked out that you were going to be here. I'm a New York guy. I was telling my son that you were going to be on the show, and I had to run through who Bin Laden was with him. It's weird to think that
they're not teaching a lot of that to younger kids. Yeah. I flew down this morning. I saw the Freedom Tower this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And every time you see that, you think of the World Trade Center, what happened here. And it's very important to know what happened and why it happened.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not just because of 19 guys that went nuts. It's because of 19 guys that want to kill us because we don't believe exactly what they believe. And the education goes on the same. I get asked a lot about that stuff, too. And you need to educate their kids as well. You can't teach people hate off the bat and expect them to grow up to be normal.
Yeah, you need to change your culture, whether it's local or abroad.
Yeah.
My nephew is graduating high school this year, and he decided he's going to join the Navy. And my father is in the Navy, but I mean, you know, in and out guys. You know what I mean? Not lifers. And I know that there is a certain type of person that will join the military for life, that will become a police officer, police officers, firemen. Completely. I just went to the Pinellas Fire training thing. And I had to talk to them and go, what is it about you that makes you decide to run into a building? There's a certain kind of human being.
It is a special breed, yeah.
I'm proud to say I'm not that guy.
Police, law enforcement, mm-hmm.
first responders.
Yeah. Running towards danger instead of running away from it.
Talking about 9/11 with the iconic picture of the fireman running up as everyone else is running down, going up to die, because that's what he does.
Knowing this is not going to work out.
This is not good. I got to get to floor 89.
What's the worst feeling and what worst mission you've had on the way out there where you're like, this may not be a good one?
The worst feeling is when you have an enemy in an elevated position and they're shooting at you, and their bullets can reach your position, but yours can't.
Oh.
So there's no point in shooting back because you're going to waste ammo.
Yeah.
So the best thing you can do is get your friends from the Air Force on the horn and see how long it takes them to get there. There's one mission, I talk about that in the operator, where I got in a spot like that where it took an hour of solid gunfire before we had anything show up, and we were outmatched. There was only a few of us on the ground, and we were being surrounded by... they won't admit it, but Pakistan military, Al-Qaeda, and Taliban all fighting against us. And it was such a cool story because, again, with first responders, pilots, close air support, we had this guy show up, and there's a lot of intricacies that go along with calling close air support, but he realized that we got some adrenaline going, and to get rid of it, the first thing he said was, just talk to me like I'm a man.
Yeah.
And I believe the first thing I said back to him is, I see why women find you attractive. Which wasn't part of the nine line. But
when you get the call for the... by the way, you're going to touch back on a second on Pakistan. Mm-hmm. We should be more mad at Pakistan, should we not?
I think we're doing the right thing with Pakistan. We shouldn't just be funding people for the case of funding. They knew
he was there. They knew he was hiding
with Bin Laden,
out there.
Yeah, there's no doubt he was there. Yeah.
We knew he was there. Well, we just had to make sure.
We knew it, but we needed to go in and make sure, because if we tell them we're going to work together, and I mentioned this too, we knew that they'd go get him. They'd just pull him out. So yeah, they have their own interests. All of our allies have their own interests, but it's who has the most in common with us, and like what President Trump is doing right now. He's cutting a lot of the funding to Pakistan. He's cutting a lot of funding to the Palestinians. He's making Jerusalem, recognizing and moving the embassy back. Who are your allies? Who is going to stand next to you in a fight, and who's going to harbor the enemy? And it's very obvious when you go to these parts of the world.
Yeah, and would you recommend, like, I'm somebody who loves to travel, but I'm not going there.
The way I put it this way is, I've been to a lot of countries, but if I need to see a pyramid, I'll go to the Luxor. It's in Vegas.
Yep.
There's a very ample buffet up there.
It's nice.
Where are you afraid to go anywhere?
No.
No.
I'd like to be aware of it.
Yeah.
And, even a couple days ago, there's a shooting in a, they call it a luxury hotel in Afghanistan.
Right.
There are no luxury hotels in Afghanistan. And whoever thought it was a good idea to stay, that's a bad idea. So I would pay attention to what our friends at the State Department put out. They do it for a reason.
Right.
Stuff like Haiti. Like, just be aware of this and this time.
I'm not going to Haiti.
That's what I'm saying. But yeah. they that's what they tell people, so just don't do it. Now, other places... I know I traveled to Ireland quite a bit, to the UK. I've been to Austria recently, and you just kind of... The world's not as bad as the media likes to say it is, but when there are real threats, which there are, you don't want to get complacent with the potential.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, hats and sunglasses for me, and
I'm
trying to come up with a good fake name.
Be careful, dude. Don't let that leak out. Don't go the route of Ron Mexico or any of that other stuff, because when it gets out, you look like a dick if they know. You know. This is Rob O'Neill and Sheriff Chad Cronister that are here with us. I'm great to see you supporting Chad. Chad is a great guy who is one of the few people I believe has his job because he genuinely wants to be there and wants to help out. Doesn't need it, but is there because he believes he could do some good.
Oh, that's why I flew down here to support him all day today. I've got a very busy schedule, but this is important. I'm a big backer of law enforcement. I think Chad and I were talking about this on the drive over. There, law enforcement has, in a lot of places, a more dangerous job than some of the places I was, because... some places it's almost become a fad to try to hunt down police officers.
Oh,
and it's sad that you need to have that kind of a back-to-back swim buddy, we would call it, time mentality here in the United States.
Yeah.
Just because of bad information being put out about police officers and the misconception of the way they treat people, and all of a sudden they're targets.
I don't think there's anything wrong with having a certain level of fear of a police officer. When I was a kid, and anybody between the ages of 16 and 19 is a dick for a little while, and you just get your driver's license and you think you're a tough guy. I had my driver's license 2 days, and a cop pulled me over on the loudspeaker. He goes, "Stop the car, moron." I couldn't fly today, but man, that scared the hell out of me. And when he got out, I didn't do anything wrong, but I knew I'm driving slow now because this guy's there. You need to have a little level of fear.
A slightly fearful respect.
Yeah.
Hey, I feared my mom growing up, and I respected her, but I knew she was always there for me, and that's what we're trying to promote in law enforcement today. You know, we're here for you. It's a partnership. It's not law enforcement and community. It's all one.
Do you guys watch a live PD show?
I do. I have seen it.
Best goddamn thing on TV.
What is it?
Yeah. Live PD. It's where they take camera crews, kind of like cops almost.
Yeah, I love cops.
But it's a mentality of it being live. It's not exactly 100% live, but they go to different cities and check in when they get calls so you can watch them as they play out. And some of it turns out to be, hey, we just pulled the guy over. But it shows you the lack of respect that people have for police officers. And also shows you the ridiculousness that people think. I mean, I would say 60% of the people that get pulled over don't have a driver's license. Yeah, I'm driving with a suspended.
Gives you a different perspective. Yes. It doesn't. There's no editing like cops. It's real. It's live.
It's live, and it's amazing to watch. I wanted to ask you this, and I'm sure you've been asked 1,000 times. When Bin Laden is shot, there are a couple of pictures going around the internet.
Oh, those are phony.
All of them?
Every single one of them, yeah. We have the pictures.
Right.
And they are somewhere up near the Capitol, I'm sure.
Well, we'll never see them.
You'll see them. There will be a point where someone needs to get reelected, and the Bin Laden theories are all out there, and they need to and they'll show them, and then people will be like, oh, those are disgusting. Why'd you show them? It's like, well, you've been asking for.
There's one that looked really good.
Nah, it's bad.
Really?
Yeah, that's not even, no. You know, justice does need to be served, but a lot of people don't need to know what justice looks like. It's a very violent picture. I mean, I shot him at close range with a 5.56.
It's so weird to hear somebody say, when I shot him in the forehead, right?
Yeah, yeah, he was close too, because when I turned the corner to go into his room, I just followed the point man up the stairs through a curtain. He went one way to try to jump on what he thought were suicide bombers. And so he's giving up his life for the guy behind him, and I just saw him do that. I turn, and there's Bin Laden 3 feet away, maybe, and his hands are on his wife's shoulders, and she's sort of being pushed towards me, and he's standing there making a move, not surrendering. And I went up the stairs not because of bravery. I don't know what the point man was thinking. I went up because I know he's in there, and he's going to blow himself up, and I'm tired of thinking about it. Let's just get it over with. I saw him, suicide bomber. He is a threat. And I've dealt with suicide bombers before, and it's scary, it's loud, it's fast, it's permanent, and that's, you get rid of them by demobilizing them as quickly as can, and that's when you try to shoot them right between the eyes. So
when the other guy jumped on the bomber, what did he do? He got him before he could detonate?
There was no bombs.
Okay,
but you don't know that.
Right.
The time you find out if the guy's wearing a suicide vest is the same time you find out if they're a pearly gates.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's just, it ended that fast. That's how it goes.
When you see him face to face, do you get any butterflies? You're like, oh, there
he
is.
No. It was just, it was so quick, and we'd done, we'd training in combat so many times. It's muscle memory. I know what I'm doing, but this is just the thing. You go through the quick, that's him. He's taller than I thought. Shorter beard. He's the threat. That's his nose. It's him. You got to eliminate him.
Right,
and
like
so
that.
It didn't sink in until after we had, because after I shot him, I saw his young kid, his two-year-old, was in the room, and I remember the thoughts of, poor kid, nothing to do with this. I'm a father.
Right.
I want to move him and his mom to the side, but then other SEALs are coming in the room, and that's when it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And one of the guys came up to me, and he goes, hey, he looked at me. I'm standing there. He goes, are you good?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. What do we do now?
Uh-huh.
And he smiled and said, well, now we go find the computers. We do this every night. We've done this hundreds of times. And
right.
I said, yeah, you're right. Oh, my God, I'm back. And he goes, yeah, you just killed Bin Laden, bro.
Yeah, like kind of like they had showed in the movie. Where they
had, you could tell no one on the mission helped with the movie because they sort of got it right through secondhand information. But the stuff that actually happened, which, again, I'm plugging my book, is in the operator. The story's incredible. The guys were incredible. I
should plug it. It's a wonderful book. Very informative.
I have the book, and I have it ready.
It's not just entertainment. It's a great read.
And by the way, I did hear you say this, I think, on Stern or one of the interviews, that the government did allow you to use that information, correct? Because they knew you were going to write the book.
No, I submitted it to the government.
Right, and then
because I had a memoir, and then I want to do it the right way. I want to make sure other eyes are on it so they can see whether or not anyone in the future might be affected. So I gave it to them, and they were good to me. They went through the whole thing in a matter of months. They did some redaction, so we together made changes on certain names, and they edited out the SEAL team we were at, which is funny because I'm all good. So this is approved. It's the real story. It's and that's why people ask me, they're like, well, what about the controversy? I'm like, there's a controversy.
This is
what happened, and that's
because you guys have an oath of silence. But I mean, at this point,
funny though is I get asked about the oath of silence and why SEALs don't write books. I'm like, I know, and I read about that in about 180 SEAL books.
Yeah,
that's how you found out about
and
it.
At least five movies.
what's your favorite movie? That is about modern day missions.
Lone Survivor is probably my favorite. And we were involved with that one too.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I did with my secret SEAL team. That was the first time we were over there. And I know Marcus, Lone Survivor, and he's just where he was in the Korangal Valley and the Shuriak Valley in Konar Province is pretty much the most dangerous place in the world. And for him to get through that on his own after watching his friends die when it's so easy to give up, the will to live is insane, and he's done an excellent job afterwards. He's a positive guy. I follow him on Instagram, and
that was a really great movie. I mean, you know the ending.
Yeah.
But the entire time you're watching,
that was
you're
a good
like,
movie. They had Navy SEALs as advisors on that, and they were really hard on the stuntmen. Like, they would make them redo the jumps off the cliffs because that wasn't accurate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're serious. And they did a great job, but the actors did awesome jobs. I don't think Wahlberg's as tall as Latrell, but he was awesome. I like that movie.
What about the Benghazi movie?
I was not involved with Benghazi, so I like the movie.
I know, but as far as somebody who's been in it...
I know Tonto, and he was there, and he helped with the movie, as did the other guys, and if they were on set, then it's probably pretty accurate. And again, just a small force fighting Al-Qaeda in a very dangerous place. It had to be something like that. And, they lost guys, and they had some horrible stuff happen, but it was them, some high tier one army operators, again, I can't talk about, but then other individuals for certain government agencies that apparently fought it out for a long time.
It's amazing to watch.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I've seen it a bunch of times.
Me too.
That's
the
problem that I have with 13 Hours is if I'm at home getting ready to go work out and I'm just flipping through the channels and it's on, I will sit there and watch the rest of it.
Before it goes, how come you still work out? You should just be fat now. Like we were saying today,
you shouldn't have to pay for any drinks.
No taxes.
No taxes.
You shouldn't have to pay taxes.
Every year, whichever car you want, whatever model, you get the first one off the line.
Right. The taxes, if you guys can lobby for that, I'm cool with not paying taxes.
Yeah.
If we, I don't mind buying a round every now and then, that's fun.
But, yeah, all right. But I mean, you got to be like, if you go into a bar, You see, if you have a friend that you travel with, well, you never want to be the guy, but if your friend can go in a couple of minutes before you and go, hey, you guys know who's coming in here later, you'll never pay for a drink in your life.
I had friends do that, and it kind of makes me uncomfortable. Hey, the guy that killed Bin Laden type stuff, because the whole team, and back to the intel, back to the people for years. But I have had them do it before when I put up a monster tab and all of a sudden the owner of the joint just picks it up. So that's cool.
That's great. Yeah. Cool. Heck yeah. We all know from that end of the mission was the president and everybody watching in that one room.
Yeah.
You guys know that they're watching at the time? I mean, obviously, somebody's watching.
They were watching a feed that could only see the exterior. All they saw was the helicopter crash. And the other one land where we weren't going to, but we did because of a contingency. So that's all they saw.
Uh-huh.
And even the brilliant Admiral Bill McRaven, who was the overall commander in country, he saw it too, but he wasn't really talking to it. He was in a different base. And he just him being smart, knowing that having the White House freak out right now is not going to help.
Right.
All he said was he called back and said, hey, obviously there's been a contingency, but my men are prepared.
They're ready to go.
And he had no idea if we were all dead. Yeah. But he's having President Obama freak right now is really not going to help the situation. Yeah. So we'll kind of leave it as it is, and then we'll see what happens.
I have to tell you that Zero Dark 30 was the closest thing for an average person to be there, but now to read your book and know what it was actually like.
Yeah, the ending's different. Not the ending. Bin Laden dies in the book. But when we got back and we talked to there was a team of women that found him, but the lead woman we showed, and I definitely can't say that, I don't want to say it, but it's cooler, way cooler than any of that
movie. Oh, really?
Yeah. I have a question. So the operator of the book, which they'll make into a movie, I'm sure, who plays you?
Yeah.
Who do you want?
I always say that I think it'd be kind of fun because it's a young me, and then it's an older me. So I'm thinking, is the kid going up in Montana, Kevin Hart, and then The Rock as the seal?
I'll tell you.
I don't know. I get hit with that stuff. Like, you ever see Jake Busey?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's kind of an ugly, good-looking guy like me.
You do look like kind of like a more handsome Larry Bird. I would lay in bed and think about that. Who I'd want to?
If they want to make a movie, that's just an honor to get in the process. We're not quite there yet, but we'll see.
We gotta be there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We gotta be there. Come on, I want to see that. Everybody, every man wants to see that. I have to tell you, it is a thrill to meet you as an American, but as a New Yorker and anybody affected by 9/11 and Bin Laden. It's great to meet the man who actually can say, I went that time I shot Bin Laden.
Do you want to tell him how we found out the most American way in the world?
All right, so we're at Monday Night Raw Wrestling is here in Tampa.
That's
that night.
Awesome.
And at the time, Wi-Fi in the Ice Palace, the Amalie Arena here, is terrible. Nobody has a signal. They can hardly get a signal. And I don't know who told me. Was it my father?
Yeah,
but I was
so.
The one. I finally get a text, and I think it was my dad, and he says, "Hey, I'm hearing Bin Laden was shot." So I run backstage at the WWE, and I tell them that they're live on TV. It's right as the show's ending. And they keep the house lights on, and John Cena, in his jean shorts, comes out into the ring and tells everybody that Osama bin Laden has been compromised.
I have seen that.
Really?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be there, that's cool.
Yeah,
I have a good story. Another one, a year to the day of the anniversary, I had my kids at a water park. We're in the hotel getting ready to change.
Right.
And we have a national news station on, and they said, all right, it's the anniversary of Bin Laden's death. Right now we're taking viewer email. Whoever has the best story of where you were when you found out Bin Laden was dead, email us. And so my daughter started freaking out. She goes, Dad, you gotta email him and just tell him you were in his bedroom.
I was a couple of feet away from him.
I was like, well, yeah, honey, I can't do that. I'm still in the Navy.
not to bring it back down again, but I have kids, man. I didn't kill Bin Laden, and I'm afraid to send my kids out to places. Do you think about that?
I've been dealing with that since it happened.
Yeah.
And there's, I don't talk about the security in places, but we're aware of stuff in local law enforcement, federal law enforcement, certain things that are there. We're aware of it. And
I know you don't talk about where you live, but you come from Montana.
Yeah.
We're the other toughest American in the world.
Evel Knievel. He's from my hometown, Butte, Montana.
Let me tell you, there must be some in the water.
I go home every time. I'm like, where's my statue?
Yeah. It's coming, buddy. It's coming. Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming in here today.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for all your support of law enforcement, our military. You're certainly one of our community leaders, and we can't thank you enough for all your support.
Because I recognize, and I'm not that guy. I'll help you if you're stuck on the side of the road, but if there's a fire or something, that's too much for me. I'm a big pussy. Seriously, if you need me to do any ride-alongs or any of that stuff.
Well, I heard the other day you want to be a reserve deputy, so I've already gotten a phone call. We're in process of making you an honorary deputy.
Nice.
Bring you on, making sure you're on team Hillsborough County Sheriff's.
I'm pretty sure I have the same amount of guns as you guys do. Same amount of what do you carry on a daily basis, can you say? What would you carry?
I'm so used to 6 Hour that I like, I've fired it over a million times.
Did
I just
say?
The operating system. I've noticed, well, from actual, you want a 45 or higher.
Yeah.
People have this will to live thing. That
think about this, Mike. 17 years, over 400 misses. You're going to get attached to the gun that you
have. I
love that gun.
You want to hear what a big pussy I am? I bought a 50 caliber Desert Eagle because it looks so beautiful. I'm buying them to collect them. You know what I mean? I'm not going
to
do anything.
That's a fun gun.
I go to the range
though.
A lot. I'm afraid to shoot it. I have not fired it yet.
It's good. It's good.
The guy said to me, what are you going to buy it for? And I just went, home protection.
Art. Like, kind of art.
Yeah, he said, this is a good gun for home protection because if the guy that is in your house runs away to the neighbor's house and hides behind the refrigerator, you still shoot him. Yeah.
Maybe I can get my wife down here to show you how to shoot it.
I feel like that's going to be the one that makes me put it down and go, oh. All right, gentlemen, very good to see you both. Thank you for coming in here today.
Thanks, Mike.
Good luck with everything. And we are here for you if you need anything.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks so much. The Mike Calta Show on 102.5 The Bull.